With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Football fans, make sure you tune in Thursday. That's tomorrow. For our draft coverage, brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. Get the latest team draft updates right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We, as in Mike and I, will be down in Mercedes-Benz. We'll hang out down there for a little while doing the show, getting you ready for the draft. It's going to be an exciting day, and then obviously our guys will take over at 7 o'clock. That will be our Mike Conte, along with Wes Durham and Dave Archer and Randy McMichael. Take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. We're going to get you caught up on what's going on in the world of sports today with our top three at 6, and it's more than three stories, but there are a few that are certainly bigger than others today. Braves back in action, and we'll tell you about that and who's on the hill tonight. But, you know, we were talking about this bullpen, and I got to tell you, more people than not do agree with us as to, you know what, if you're not going to make any moves, use what you got.
Right. So if it's an endless, caravan back and forth between Cool Ray Field and Lawrenceville and, SunTrust, so be it. And we kind of seen that the last couple of years anyway. It's just, this is why, you know, it's crying over spilt milk, but you wish you would address this by going and getting some maybe more veteran middle relievers. I mean, yes, they don't grow on trees and you don't want to overspend, but the idea that you're basically taking the same approach as the end of last season is kind of ludicrous.
It is. So right now, and I mentioned this last hour, we lead the major leagues in walks. It's been part of our problem. It was a problem last night. Hopefully it won't be tonight as they continue this series with the Cincinnati Reds.
I mean, Darren O'Day is 36 and he hasn't pitched an inning for the Braves yet, waiting to see when this guy's going to be healthy.
Yeah, I don't know what he is, Mike. I mean, listen, I know he was a really good reliever 3 to 4 years ago.
Right.
I know that he was a part of the Gausman trade to make that happen. But he was also a guy the Braves decided to keep and pay him based on the fact that they really thought he could help the
bullpen. Yeah, he's making some loot. And Anthopoulos talked about that in the article with Jeff Schultz and Dave O'Brien, saying, look, we do have options here. Okay. I mean, look, it's so early in the season, but, I mean, if you think this is going to change, I mean, we are hoping that someone's going to rise above the other guys as a guy who actually feel confident when the bullpen door opens. You still don't have a closer right now.
No.
Right, either.
No, you don't. All right, man, find us on Twitter, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. You can hit us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well, as always, and get involved in the conversation. This hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by Kia. Go to KiaDealers.com. Hey, Craig. Hey, Craig.
Psst. Craig. Hey, buddy.
Oh, you
wake up. We're almost home, honey.
Yeah, you can't speak, huh?
Yeah, Craig's mic is off, by the way.
Craig was upset today. Just real quick, I was going to mention this because he got caught behind the presidential motorcade.
Well, everything was on shutdown when the press, whether it's President Obama or Trump, before people who get angry when they go into their corner, even though we're just having a benign discussion about traffic.
Yeah.
But anyway, whoever the president is, they locked down the interstate, and Craig was part of the lockdown.
So yeah, Mike and I were reliving that story of the national championship when the press came in, and mm-hmm. we got stuck downtown basically trying to get out, and they were like, you can't walk, you can't leave. But he was really upset because, believe it or not, Craig said he was coming in early today, Mike, to work on some stuff, and he got caught behind that.
Well, again, I think he's probably lying about that.
But I agree.
It's a nice story. It's a nice story.
No, I'm glad you and I agree on that. Hey, man, let's get to the top three. You better push the button.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
You know, you can't get me back that way. Just because we're putting you on blast, you cannot get me back that way. Hey, man, let's start with the Braves. Brian Snicker, I said this. Jesse Biddle, get your bags, okay? He's not been good.
Yeah, I give Snicker some credit. We said this earlier today talking about the Bravos for those who missed it. He tried to give Gausman a chance to get out of it, and he couldn't. And a double and a run was scored, and then they went to the pen, and then it snowballed and got 10 times worse.
Here's what Brian Snicker had to say about Biddle.
We've seen him so good, and it's just, I'm trying to figure out the right spot to try and get him some confidence and get him going, and I don't know what that is right now.
Yeah, he couldn't get anybody out, and the bigger thing for me is 12 walks and 11 innings pitched. This is a reliever. This is not a starter. So you're handing him the ball in critical situations, and he is walking guys. Now, he's not the only one. You might be like, well, Duke, you're being too hard. No, I'm not.
He's terrible. Look, this is, and I was a big fan of Sabatka last year. Remember, he had a couple of good,
he's terrible,
good performances against the Pirates last year.
He's garbage.
I'm like, this guy's gonna be a right-handed John Rocker. Now, I mean, again, when ball does not move, ball travels very far. Okay, so these guys have got to get it together. People ask us all the time, who are you going to trade for? Nobody trades in May, okay? Now you got to wait till the trade deadline heats up. Now, if somebody is really, really awful, I don't know if the Marlins have anybody you'd even want to come out of the bullpen, but I mean, yes, there are teams that suck already. Start calling them, Alex, and let's get some help.
He's a bum. Seriously, what's up?
The bullpen is hot garbage.
What's up with the guys from New York? Every guy I know from New York uses that word. It's the funniest thing. He's garbage. It's the funniest thing to me.
It is a New York. It's definitely. It's one of my, you know, my dad had his go-tos at the ballpark. Yeah. You know, same thing. He'd be like, Dave, talking to Dave Johnson. Davey, this guy's hot garbage.
He's garbage. All New York guys that I know, they use that word in one way or the other.
Like Mike Francesa, I got to tell you, dog, this guy's garbage.
Yeah, all right, stick to your predictions, will you? It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, story number two, the shot heard around the world. Damian Lillard, guys, game-winning three-pointer to basically win the series.
Dame into the front court, 10 seconds. Lillard now out front against George, 5 seconds. George backing up, Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win, a three-pointer for the game.
Yeah! Oh.
Again, Korean, Mandarin, Chinese. Either way, it's a winner, and everybody feeling it, except for, of course, the Thunder, who kicked the hornet's nest, Carl. They poked the bear,
yeah.
And our own little Dennis Schroeder, apparently, and we'll play the comments, because can we start with the man who made the shot?
Absolutely. Dame.
The series was over. You know, that was it, and I was just waving goodbye to him. And
cold.
After game three, you know, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing to his wrist. They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all this stuff, and we kept our composure. After one win, that was what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, it's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was.
Well, there was something to talk about because Russell Westbrook and Paul George had to get in front of the microphones for the Thunder. And then Paul George was asked about the shot because he was the man defending Damian Lillard when he drops the 37-footer, and he drew a little bit of shade.
I mean, that's a bad shot.
Oh.
I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot.
You know, yeah. What? And by the way, Paul George, up until that moment, had done his job. Oh, he was going for 30 great. Every night, 35, 36. He should have, Carl, in the press conference, turned and said, you know, if my buddy here, who shot 10 of 41 in two games for a combined 28 points, Russell Westbrook had done his job, we might have extended this series.
Yeah, you're right. He should have got up and said, ask him. By the way, I told you guys this story earlier in the week about a reporter in Oklahoma City who has been asking Russell Westbrook a bunch of questions. He's not been answering. Matter of fact, the guys on TNT talked about it. Well, he answered him last night. He answered Barry Trammell's question.
Yeah, Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. Russell, you guys played so well in the fourth quarter to take back control of the game. What do you think went wrong that there in the last 3 or 4 minutes?
Not really sure.
He's been doing this the whole series.
The guy, and we talked about this, and I thought Charles Barkley made a great point about, and Kenny Smith and Shaq not so much, on TNT about how you deal with reporters who got their mean on.
Bum.
You're a pro, be a pro, get in, get out. You know, it's not a good look for the NBA when these guys start acting like 5-year-olds. And that's the truth. And by the way, Russell's 31, bad shooting performance. You know, is he going to bail in Oklahoma, go join the LeBron?
No.
Now you need to play with three basketballs if he went to L.A. because if Durant goes, you're right back to what you had in OKC.
Listen, I think
LeBron, he's under contract basically forever in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. He's signed a long-term extension. LeBron will be fine. They're going to get Anthony Davis and everybody else that he wanted to play with there ultimately.
But Westbrook's the loss to the Heat. Is that the only time he gets to the finals?
Well, Mike, the window, you're 31. You're not 25 anymore, okay? So all of a sudden, and 31's not old. But you got to think about the minutes he plays every night. They were talking about this I forget where it was, and they were saying take him off the ball and let him be basically your shooting guard. Let him and George, you know, be shooters instead of putting him on the ball and having all that pressure to create for everybody else. Well, isn't that why they got Dennis Schroeder?
That's what. Well, good luck with that. But I mean, in the case of Westbrook, if you watched any of the series, and again, I only watch highlights because it's on the West Coast, but he looked like the guy. Remember the dude who does the parody? He does the impressions of all the NBA stars.
Yeah, it's impressive.
That's what Russell Westbrook looked like. Yeah, it's like he's like a run around with a chicken with his head cut off. Who's going to play with him too? Paul George took the Nesteach plunge, but who else is going to go play with him for all the things it entails playing with Russell Westbrook? Point we're getting to here is you're in the West where all the good teams are.
Yep.
So it's a tough spot.
Thunder have lost in the opening rounds the past two seasons. 2016, they had a 3-1 lead with Durant and blew it against the Warriors. They could have been in the finals. That spawned Durant to leave, and he's won a couple of championships now, and here is Westbrook still not out of the first round. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our top three at six. Let's talk some Falcons, man. What do you think about the Falcons picking up the option on Keanu Neal?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. A lot of teams are doing this right now. Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, got a contract extension up in Pittsburgh. With the Falcons, Keanu's a guy you're going to have to find a way to get a big contract down the road. It's no surprise. They picked up the fifth-year option on Vic a year ago, and unfortunately we saw it through. But in the case of Keanu Neal, that's a guy that does his job. Are you worried about him at all bouncing back from the injury? We haven't really talked about any concerns about
that. No, I mean, you know, the Falcons are being pretty nondescript about this because I don't think they expect him back until training camp. But training camp starts a little bit early this year. So we're going to know something here by the end of June, and I know that sounds like a long time away, but I don't expect to see him, Mike, in minicamp and all these other workouts that guys show up for.
D-Led's going to join us tomorrow. He'll be up at Flowery Branch, up at the War Room. We'll be at Mercedes-Benz, guys. And again, coverage begins at 7, special edition with Arch West. Drew Ham! Randy McMichael as well. Mike Conti anchoring it for you. We'll all be live at the Benz.
The other story from a football standpoint, Marshawn Lynch, guys, is stepping away. He says he's going to retire for good. He's done playing. He went back home, played in Oakland. But the DA in this Tyreek Hill case, Mike, announces there will not be any charges. And this is kind of one of those stories where you go, that doesn't necessarily mean that the NFL still will not punish Tyreek Hill.
If you guys don't remember, his 3-year-old son had a broken arm. Now, how the arm got broken is what the police and the prosecutors are trying to figure out. Whether he didn't get cooperation, and according to the Kansas City Star, the fifth, you got the Fifth Amendment right, Carl. You can choose not to speak. And apparently neither would his significant other. The DA from Johnson County announced that he will not face charges, nor his fiancée, despite the belief, says the DA, that a crime has occurred. Only reason we bring that up is, okay, he's not going to court over this. It's over. It doesn't necessarily mean anything to Roger Goodell, because Ezekiel Elliott wasn't guilty of anything, and he missed half a season.
Yeah, this is – it's listen, if there's nothing there, you know, Bo asked us earlier, yeah, man, no, man, do you suspend him? I don't think you can.
But here's the thing with the NFL, though. The right thing, or you know, what you think should be done, has nothing to do with their CBA.
It's true.
The players have allowed Goodell to be judge, jury, and executioner. Hill was arrested and charged with domestic assault back in 2014 with the woman who's the mother of his child.
Right.
I don't know if Goodell is going to look at Ezekiel. Well, Ezekiel had a bunch of, you know, the optics were bad on a number of things off the field, but there was still nothing he was going to court over. I'm just curious because for purely selfish reasons, you drafted Tyreek Hill in the Fantasy League, and who knows where he's going to go because he and Patrick Mahomes are going to connect for plenty of touchdowns. But this now, there'll be something that'll be talked about on Park Avenue by Roger Goodell and his minions.
We'll keep an eye out, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. As we're talking football, we're getting ready for the draft. We started the show today, and I said that all teams in the NFL today know. You've been talking about this stuff for weeks, months, but you don't get till tomorrow and go, well, I've changed my mind. Everyone pretty much thinks that Kyler Murray will be the number one overall pick tomorrow. Now, it might not happen, but his old coach at Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, talking about Murray and what he thinks about him.
Once he decides what he's going to do, he's pretty locked into it. He did not take this decision lightly. He and his family weighed all the options. He's very intentional, very thorough. With his decision-making, with his process, and he got to the point where he knew that football was his future. He knew deep down that's what he wanted to do, and he is, I mean, he's played his last game of baseball. This guy's going to be an NFL quarterback, and he's going to be a darn good one.
Okay. So that's part of, and I told you guys this a few weeks ago, part of the negotiations, allegedly, secretly, is that they want a clause in the contract that you're not going to go play baseball on us. You're going to be our quarterback, right? Right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think you'd think that would be kind of cut and dry, but they're going to have that in the language. We are going to talk to Tony Pauline, guys, NFL draft analyst, publisher of draftanalyst.com, because all this misdirection about Josh Rosen, still a couple of teams apparently interested in him. After we've circled back to this, is it all chalk and is going to be Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa, and then it only starts getting interesting at 3? that we'll ask. We'll find out from our draft analyst because the Jets are apparently shopping that pick. I still think that the Cardinals are still looking to make a deal.
I do too. I do too. Matter of fact, I think they're looking to make a deal with Rosen. Cliff Kingsbury said as much. Not that, but he said we haven't made up our mind. The translation is we haven't gotten the right deal for Rosen. They've made up their mind, in my opinion, on who they're picking. But he talked about Rosen.
Josh has done everything humanly possible to show what type of quarterback he is, what type of competitor he is. And I've said it all along. Couldn't be more impressed with his approach. And he's a great player. I mean, he's a top 10 pick for a reason. You see it out there. Just how cerebral he is, how quickly he's picked up our system. Was really impressed with his execution today.
Yeah, but he won't be our quarterback come Friday. That's Cliff Kingsbury, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's hear what Tony Pauline has to say, NFL draft analyst and publisher of draftanalyst.com. He joins us next.
Nine, the game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and we've been talking a lot about the draft, and rightfully so. It is going to be a big day tomorrow, first round, and we want to get a guy on who covers the draft, knows the players in this draft, has opinions about it. His name is Tony Pauline. He is an NFL draft analyst and publisher for draftanalyst.com, and he joins us right now on Dukes and Bell. And Tony, listen, we've been going back and forth on this show for our Falcons about D-tackle, all right, corner, offensive lineman. They're all needs, but what does your gut tell you about where we go in the first round of this draft?
Everything I'm hearing says it's going to be defensive tackle. When I did my mock draft, which will be published at draftanalyst.com, I had the Falcons taking Christian Wilkins of Clemson. I think he's the big, forceful playmaker that they want in the middle of the line. He's probably a little bit more athletic than De'Ron Payne, who they really were high on last year but missed out on. I think it's going to be a defensive-heavy draft for the Falcons. I don't know that there is a cornerback worth taking with that 14th pick.
Right.
I do think that Christian Wilkins, if he's there, and I would expect him to be there, is going to be great value. I think he's going to be day one starter, and he immediately improves that Atlanta Falcons defensive line.
Man, we've been talking about it all day, and I agree with you, Tony. That's the guy I want. He's a leader. Not that matters, but, you know, 4 years under his belt at Clemson, national championships, and a nice, you know, as far as a size component, a little bit bigger. If the Falcons were to swing for the fences, is Quinnen Williams that generational guy, or is he just a really, really good DT?
He has the potential to be an all-pro down the road. I mean, he's the type of guy, number one, he's my number one rated player on my board, just ahead of Nick Bosa.
Hmm.
And I think when you compare the two, the best way to put it is Quinnen Williams has a higher upside. 2 or 3 years down the road, Quinnen Williams could be the best player, could be a much better player than Nick Bosa. He has that all-pro potential. But he also has a bit of downside risk. There are no definites with him. Compare him to either Nick Bosa or even Ed Oliver, who the Atlanta Falcons also like. Those guys are the safer picks, but I think 2 or 3 years down the road, I know, in fact, 2 or 3 years down the road, if he's hitting on all cylinders and he achieves what people believe he can achieve, Williams is going to be far and away the best player in this draft and has the higher upside compared to a Nick Bosa or an Ed Oliver.
Now, you're right. I mean, the Falcons have heavily scouted Oliver. I've talked to people in his camp, and he's been very impressed with his visits with the Falcons. Would you see the Falcons moving down to go get him and making a huge trade?
Well, you mean moving up?
Excuse
me, I guess
yes.
It's a matter of semantics. I say moving up. Listen, that pick, the third pick of the draft, the New York Jets, is on the open market. And that's probably where they would have to move to get Ed Oliver. It's a matter of, you know, what would they be willing to give up to move up that high? You're probably going to have to give up a number two, maybe a number one next year, although the Jets want picks this year. The Jets are in desperate need of selections this year. So if the price is right and you're not mortgaging your future,
right,
I think it's worth it, and I think it's something that the Atlanta Falcons would do. I thought that if he had slipped to 8, Ed Oliver, they would absolutely flip-flop picks with the Detroit Lions, who wanted to get out of that spot. But Oliver's really perception or his draft stock has kind of shot up. That's kind of a bad thing because his draft stock was always high.
Right.
But I think his word has gotten out from league inner circles. People are now viewing him as a top five selection, which he always was, which he always should have been.
He's a guy that knows what he's talking about, man. When it comes to the draft, it's draftanalyst.com. Analyst and publisher of that website, Tony Pauline's with us right here on the waitfor.com hotline. All right, so let's say we hang on to our second round pick. Will DeAndre Baker and I guess those guys are gone because Greedy and him will be taken in the first round. They've looked at a guy named Isaiah Johnson out of Houston. Maybe him in the second round?
Well, actually, in my mock draft, I have the Atlanta Falcons taking DeAndre Baker in round two. I don't think DeAndre Baker is going to be a first-round pick. First thing about the cornerback board that you got to know is it's all over the place. If you talk to 10 different teams, you're going to get 12 different views on how they rank their cornerbacks. That's what I mean when it's all over the place. I think that there's a very good chance that DeAndre Baker could slide down to them. The other guy, Isaiah Johnson, is more of a third, fourth-round type of guy. The other player that they really like a lot is Sean Bunting of Central Michigan. I know they've had him in. I know they really like him. He's a bigger press cornerback. So we're of the same opinion that I think it's going to be defensive tackle in round one, cornerback in round two. Who that cornerback is, I think right now it'll either be DeAndre Baker or Sean Bunting. I like Isaiah Johnson, but he struggles making plays with his back to the ball. And really, the top 45 is just a little bit too rich for my blood for Isaiah Johnson of Houston.
No, I think we're going defense as well, Tony. But let's just say, because it is a need, that we go offensive line. Who is the best offensive lineman that fits us? Is it Cody Ford? Is it Dillard, the kid out of Washington State? Who is that guy?
I don't know that Dillard is going to be there. I think if he is, he's more of a left tackle anyway. I think they'd be looking for a right side guy. So I think it would be Cody Ford. But again, I think that's a little bit early for Cody Ford. Keep the name of Titus Howard on your lips. If he's there in round two, I think that would be a guy that they would look to. I know that they really like him. He's a guy from Alabama State. He's played left tackle. He's played right tackle. Some people project him as a zone-blocking guard. He's a guy who's incredibly athletic. He's very mobile. He's got a great amount of upside. Some people think he could slide into the late part of round one. I don't think that's going to happen. But again, if he's there in round two, I think they could fill their need with Titus Howard. And he's one of those guys, you know, going back to Quinnen Williams, he's a very good player now. He's got a tremendous amount of upside and could be a spectacular offensive tackle 2-3 years down the road.
Talking about the Falcons draft and the NFL draft at large with a guy that knows all about it, Tony Pauline with us here, guys, from draftanalyst.com on Dukes and Bell. Getting back to the top end, after all the stuff that they've been throwing out there about whether trying to get their best deal for Josh Rosen, do you buy the Cardinals doing anything other than Kyler Murray?
I mean, it would be a shock. It would be a massive shock. I think I spoke to somebody earlier this week, and they told me that they thought Kyler Murray was a done deal because they are too far gone with Josh Rosen. And the thought process was, or the opinion was, you can't bring Josh Rosen back to the Arizona Cardinals now. There's a lot of mayhem in that front office. I know people directly under Steve Keim do not want Kyler Murray. They feel they put a lot of capital into trading up to get Josh Rosen. They've given Josh Rosen a lot of money. They feel he is the future. And there's really a lot of people who are kind of angry about the whole situation. You know, why after we moved up and paid Josh Rosen $10.8 million, are we going to trade him away for pennies on the dollar and then take Kyler Murray? We've got to pay him another $24 million in signing bonus. So there's a lot of dissension in there. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it's a situation where they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. If they don't take Kyler Murray, you know, how does Josh Rosen fit a Cliff Kingsbury type of offense? And people question how a Cliff Kingsbury offense really fits in the NFL.
Right.
And then if they do take Kyler Murray, there are a lot of long-time people there who say, you know, why are we doing this? We're starting from square one. If they take Kyler Murray with the first pick of the draft, and I expect them to do that, and they do not have – Kyler Murray is going to be a day one starter, and they do not have a good season, everybody's going to get fired in December.
Wow.
Tony Pauline, guys, NFL draft analyst and publisher of draftanalyst.com. I think what's going to be fascinating also is what the Giants do. They have the sixth overall pick and then 17. And, you know, I keep talking to people who say, all right, now they're going to take a quarterback at 17. They're not going to take a quarterback at 6. What do you think?
I think that's a possibility. I think one of the big defensive linemen could actually fall down into their laps. And Dave Gettleman is all about taking best player available. We saw that last year when he passed up Sam Darnold for Saquon Barkley, and he got a lot of grief for it, I think unjustifiably, because Saquon Barkley was hands down the best player in the draft and was the best rookie last year.
Right.
I think there's a very good chance. I think Haskins is the smart move, but I definitely, absolutely, in my mock draft, I actually have Quinnen Williams falling to them at 6, and then I have him taking Daniel Jones at 17. I've known since their since Daniel Jones' pro day. They really like him. Huh. He is very much a Giants type of quarterback. He's a big pocket passer. He's a smart, methodical quarterback. He doesn't make mental mistakes. Oh, and by the way, he's got the same college coach that Eli Manning had,
right,
as well as Peyton Manning. So I could absolutely see that happening. I think what may happen is you have to see, if we assume Kyler Murray goes one, do teams trade up to get Dwayne Haskins? Do the Oakland Raiders trade up to get Dwayne Haskins? Because the earlier Dwayne Haskins goes, then the Giants may have to move up from that 17th selection to take Daniel Jones.
And I guess that brings us to a follow-up on that, is because all the scenarios where the Falcons move up or maybe try to get their guy, are four quarterbacks gone by the time we pick at 14?
Right now, it's not out of the question. It is a definite possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to say 50-50. I'm going to say 51% no, 49% yes.
Okay, because Drew Locke's in that mix as well, and there's a number of teams that, you know, whether they're going to trade for Josh Rosen, if that's going to happen. That affects us. One more question for Tony Pauline, who joins us here, guys, from DraftAnalyst.com, breaking it down. If we did want to go for best athlete and edge rusher, who is your favorite edge rusher, not named Nick Bosa?
I'm going to say it's Montez Sweat. I think he's a more complete player than Josh Allen of Kentucky. I think he's a guy that has the athleticism, if you want to stand him over tackle. I think he has the ability. He's a better run defender than Josh Allen, although he needs to improve his ability against the run. He's an incredible athlete. He was a natural pass rusher in college. He's great off the edge. There is the heart issue, and there are a variety of opinions on the heart issue. I've spoken with some people who think it's only going to hurt him by a few slots. I've heard some people say they wouldn't touch him until the second round. Hmm. But as far as what the film shows me, my favorite edge rusher after Bosa is Montez Sweat of Mississippi State.
Ironically, we talked to the kid on the show. He's an Atlanta kid and said it'd be incredible to play for the Falcons. You normally don't see that based, you know, on needs and fit. But I'm with you. I think he's a difference maker. It is Tony Pauline joining us, guys. So let's recap this as we talk about the Falcons. You still think it's going to be defense? You still think it's going to be a defensive tackle in the second round, possibly corner?
Absolutely. And then maybe they look offensive line in the third round. Everything I've been told, I know they would like to add a linebacker. I just don't know. There's a good linebacker there. Maybe a guy like Terrell Dodson of Texas A&M in the third round. Tione Takitaki. Boy, that's a good one. Tione Takitaki of BYU in the third round. I think they may go offensive line around three. But, yeah, the value is there at defensive line in round one, where they're going to get a good playmaker, and then you're going to see a run on all these cornerbacks in round two. So I think they'll be able to literally come out of the draft with two starters at those positions in rounds one and two.
It's great stuff, Tony. If you missed him earlier, you said DeAndre Baker likely slipping to the second round, where the Falcons can maybe move up and get him, but that would require not giving up picks to move up in the first round. It's a bitter cycle, Carl. It goes round and round. Hey, Tony, thanks for the insight, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when you go to spot X, you got to have blank. You know, in Carl's case, I mean, who can resist those cheddar biscuits when you roll over to Red Lobster?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I should have stopped at two, maybe three. What's it to you? I asked for more bread, okay?
I mean, 720 calories you got to work off on that treadmill.
Oh, man, it was so good, though.
Hey, man, you know, like you go to the Palm, you know, for an app, you got the clams oregano. You know, you go to Capital Grill, you got that spicy calamari. Everybody's got their thing. So not the main course, guys. Maybe it's an appetizer. Maybe it's a side dish. But it's something you got to have. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
There's a lot of good Mexican joints in this town. But when you go to La Perilla and you get that cheese dip and you get the Perilla dip where they put the steak, the chicken, and the shrimp in the cheese.
Hold on. Where is this?
La Perilla.
La Perilla.
La Perilla.
All right, go ahead.
It's just some flour tortillas to dip in there. Carl, it's amazing.
All right, you writing this down?
Oh, I did.
All right, man.
He had me in Mexican food.
No, we're always looking for tips. Man. Okay. We're always looking for. Anytime you have cheese with chorizo and you start throwing other meat groups in it, I'm all down with that, man. All right, we're off and running. That's one for one. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. A must-have when you go to where is what?
Hey, man. Got to get that Chili's skillet queso.
Ooh.
That is tasty.
The Chili's skillet queso. It is. I will give you that.
Nice job. Because we know we're talking about, like, you know, when you're on the interstate, maybe sometimes, like I said, when I was a kid, Red Lobster was like the go-to when I used to stay at grandma's in Florida. Friday night was Red Lobster night.
Yeah.
All you can eat shrimp.
Well, I told Jarvis, because Jarvis was making fun of me, and I said, you know, after I ate the bread, I was like, I should have got the fried shrimp after trying to eat healthy. Because that's what I really wanted, but I was like, no, I'll have the salmon instead.
As Jameis Winston would say, shrimp. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
This is Gator Man from Douglasville. There ain't nothing better than them hot yeast rolls from the Backwoods Restaurant in Tallapoosa, Georgia, with that honey butter all over them.
Mm. That just sounds like something you'd get over in Tallapoosa, doesn't it?
It does. Hey, Desmond says, and I don't know if I've had these. He says the Boatberry biscuits from Bojangles.
Ooh.
Familiar with those? What?
I'm a Popeyes, man. I feel so dirty when I cheat on Popeyes on Bojangles, man. Like the time we did the show up at, remember, you were laughing at me because we left Atlanta United headquarters and you saw me down there at the Bojangles in the drive-thru.
That's right.
I just feel dirty when I cheat on Popeyes. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the must-have, the go-to item at where?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, it's one of two things. It's either the at Macaroni Grill where they give you the olive oil and that bread,
mm-hmm.
or either it's the place over in Bankhead, Little Leroy's, where this guy comes out and goes, what's happening?
Leroy's.
Bankhead. For those who don't listen to the show regularly, we have caller-on-caller violence in this segment where guys take shots at each other.
Leroy.
Hey, man, you're on the air, Montfrere. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
For me, is when I go to Papa Do's, I got to get the Gator Bites.
Ooh, that's a good call. Yeah, I've been, because our old office used to be right down the street from Papa Do's. We used to go over there all the time for lunch.
Yeah, Windy Hill right there.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Now I'm thinking like a Papa Do's road trip tonight.
Can't go wrong with Papacitos or Papa Do's.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. It's an item on the menu you got to have. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
There's a steakhouse called Viande de Rouge.
Mm.
It's across from St. Ives.
Okay.
There is something on that is not on the menu. It's a spinach salad. They fry up the bacon at table side.
Ooh.
And they put it over the spinach salad. It is fantastic.
You see, this
not
is
on the menu. You've got to ask for it.
Okay, right. This is our problem, yes, because we are foodies, and, well, we love to eat delicious food, especially fried up at table side.
Yes, please. Hey, man, by the way, speaking of bacon, we'll be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw to break down whatever happens on Thursday night in the draft. Again, guys, we'll be live with ice cold Hey Man Ale from 2 to 7. So if you're up in that neck of the woods off Barrett Parkway, come and see us at Twin Peaks. Also, they got those fried cheese balls with Squid Billy and you and I devour over there at Twin Peaks.
It's all good, man.
Hey, man, what do you got for us? The thing you got to have off the menu.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Man, I can't believe no one said them blooming onions. That is the bomb.
Blooming onion.
Yeah. I haven't been out back in a minute. Good call, man. That's always quality. You know, sometimes that's a three-person job, though, the Bloomin' Onion.
It is. I got to tell you guys something, too. If you've not had the wings at Outback.
Really?
For real. The wings are very tasty.
Don't bone me, man.
I'm being serious. The wings are very tasty at Outback. I was surprised. I was like, what? But, check them out.
All right, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for side order of something?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
You cannot come to Atlanta and not go to the Varsity for them fries, man. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
What do you have?
I feel guilty because that's another place I hadn't been in New York. Well, in more than a New York minute.
It's
we
right down
there.
The street, too.
I know. It's always crowded. You're on the radio, buddy. I don't want to wait. I don't want to, instant gratification. Hey, man.
Okay, it's either the rolls at Old Charlotte Smothering Brother, or it got to be late night. The hash brown at Waffle House.
Okay. Yeah. Now listen, Old Charlie's, don't laugh at me, okay? Those rolls with the butter, delicious. Delicious.
They melt in your mouth. As Danny Glover told Mel Gibson, put it in your mouth. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for something you got to get at the restaurant? What you got?
Got two for you. First one, 6 feet under, the rat toes and dragon toes.
Ooh.
And the second one, Fox Brothers, that Frito pie.
Yes, I mean, love the Frito pie.
6 feet under is one of my favorite spots as well, man. Good spot, and you're right about the toes.
And never trust a chef who's skinny. And now you have to worry about that with the Fox Brothers. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for a side item you love?
Hi, man.
Hey, man.
I'm just going to piggyback on the La Paria dip. You got to have a shot of Mezcal with it. They're one of the only Mexican restaurants that serve it.
Hey, man. He's saying get a shot with that place you just wrote down there, that La Perea.
Yeah,
man.
Listen, I got to go check this out. I mean, the way you guys are hyping this up.
All right, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You got the final word, a side item, what you got to have.
All right, I got two for you because these other guys are sleeping on them. Got to go to Varsity, get that chili dog, and also you got to get the cheese and eggs with the All-Star Special at Waffle House. You can't just sleep on the hash browns. You got to get it all.
Yeah. Now, my go-to for years has been the Texas cheesesteak. I double the meat. That's my thing. We can do that tomorrow. We can do your Waffle House order.
Well, listen,
easy.
When you add more meat, it's always more delicious.
Yes, please.
Good job, guys. Appreciate that. And if you have other suggestions, you can always tweet at us. Good stuff. We'll come back. You know where we're at tomorrow, right? Mercedes-Benz. You know what we're talking about? The NFL draft. It's going to be a big day. We'll tell you more about it when we come back here on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.